Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, Hyundai has announced that it will continue expanding its facility in Southeast Georgia. Some Georgia lawmakers are continuing the push to end the state's income tax. And Georgia's largest private university is moving to expand access to higher education.
Looking at the next 4 years, Emory's undergraduate financial aid commitment will exceed $1 billion. For the students benefiting from this program, Emory will now have one of the five most generous financial assistance programs in the nation.
Today is Thursday, September 18th. I'm Orlando Montoya, and this is Georgia Today. Hyundai will continue expanding its facility in Southeast Georgia with a $2.7 billion investment over the next 3 years, creating 3,000 new jobs. The company's adjacent battery plant construction site was raided this month by federal immigration agents that led to the detention and deportation of more than 300 South Koreans. Hyundai's announcement indicates the raid will not deter their plans to invest in the Bryan County site. Opening of the battery plant has been delayed due to the federal raid. Later in the podcast, we'll dive deeper into the story with Dee Dee Caldwell, president and CEO of Global Location Strategies and one of the world's most authoritative site selection and incentive negotiations experts. Georgia lawmakers keen on ending the state's income tax heard from other states yesterday that do not have a state income tax. The largely Republican committee is studying how to abolish Georgia's 5.19% income tax. Georgia's director of bond finance, J. Ben Watkins, told the senators at the state capitol that the absence of the income tax has driven their population growth.
People have flocked to the state. Remote working, second homes, retirees. Why do people move to Florida? What is our secret to success in Florida? Warm climate and low taxes.
Georgia State Senator Blake Tillery of Vidalia secured an agreement from the study committee not to impose a state tax on property or grocery sales or increase the gasoline tax to make up for the loss of state income taxes. Georgia's largest private university is moving to expand access to higher education. Emory University said yesterday that beginning in 2026, it will cover full tuition for undergraduates whose families earn less than $200,000 a year. The Atlanta institution's interim president, Leah Ward Sears, says the initiative, called Emory Advantage Plus, is aimed at easing the financial burden that keeps many students from pursuing a degree.
Looking at the next 4 years, Emory's undergraduate financial aid commitment will exceed $1 billion. For the students benefiting from this program, Emory will now have one of the five most generous financial assistance programs in the nation.
Currently, about 3,000 students receive the school's Emory Advantage Scholarship, about two-thirds of them getting enough to cover full tuition. Under the new program, that number will grow to 80%. Atlanta police are investigating after a rope was found hanging from a tree outside the Apex Museum for Black History on Auburn Avenue on Wednesday afternoon. Officers say they responded yesterday and, out of caution, called in their Homeland Security unit. Police said there was nothing significant to report, and the rope has since been removed. The incident comes as historically black colleges and universities across the Southeast recently faced a wave of bomb threats. At least six HBCUs, including Clark Atlanta University and Spelman College, both in Atlanta, halted their activities and issued alerts. Those lockdowns were later lifted. The Congressional Watchdog for Government Spending says administrative costs to implement Georgia's Pathways to Coverage program has surpassed the amount spent on health care coverage. A report from the U.S. Government Accountability Office notes weaknesses in the federal government's oversight of programs like Pathways. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more on the report.
The report was requested by Senate Democrats, including Senators Ossoff and Warnock. Most money spent on the Pathways program has gone to a single contractor overseeing changes to eligibility and enrollment processes, the report says. The federal government covered almost 90% of those costs, or about $40 million. Data from the state suggests about $15 million less was spent on people's health care. A delay in the program's start is one reason for the increased spending. Pathways, a form of Medicaid for working adults, has reached only a fraction of its early estimates. Just over 9,000 Georgians are enrolled today. The state has requested an extension on the program. Georgia is the only state with ongoing Medicaid work requirements. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
Officials in West Georgia's Troup County have voted to impose a 90-day moratorium on new data center developments in unincorporated areas. The County Commission on Tuesday approved a resolution to pause all applications related to the establishment, development, or expansion of data centers within unincorporated Troup County. LaGrange's $8 billion Project Pegasus data center is not affected by the pause. The moratorium comes amid growing concerns over water use, energy consumption, noise, and light pollution linked to data centers. Meanwhile, officials in Middle Georgia's Twiggs County will vote tonight on whether to rezone a stretch of timber company land for a data center. GPB's Grant Blankenship has that story.
Developers Eagle Rock Partners want an AI data center drawing as much power as the cities of Macon and Augusta combined, in a part of Twiggs County where black bears outnumber people. Some residents embraced the promise of doubling their tax base in a Q&A session ahead of the vote with Eagle Rock's Ken Lober. Most feared the data center would ruin country life. Twiggs County native Buddy Falk put it to Lober of Charlotte, North Carolina, like this.
Would you want a data center in your backyard?
Where I live in Charlotte, I've got data centers, I've got residential locations. I would not object.
Falk responded, essentially, that's easy to say when you're from a city. If approved, the development of the Twiggs County data center won't begin until at least 2028. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Jeffersonville.
A federal judge is asking Georgia's Supreme Court to decide whether residents near the biolab plant in Conyers can seek long-term medical monitoring, even if they have not shown physical symptoms. GPB's Pamela Kirkland reports.
The request comes as lawsuits continue over last year's massive chemical fire, which forced thousands to evacuate and sent toxic smoke across Rockdale County and Metro Atlanta. The suits also argue Biolab's handling of pool chemicals was so dangerous, the company should be held strictly liable. Judge Sarah Garrity has allowed that claim to move forward, but says Georgia law is unclear on medical monitoring without proof of current injury. The state's high court will now take up the question while the rest of the case proceeds in federal court. For GPB News, I'm Pamela Kirkland.
Hyundai Motor Company is planning to add production capacity at its sprawling manufacturing site in southeast Georgia with a $2.7 billion investment that promises to create 3,000 more jobs. The company announced the move on Thursday as part of what it called its, quote, most ambitious growth strategy ahead of a meeting of investors in New York. Governor Brian Kemp congratulated Hyundai on the announcement, writing on his social media that it reinforces Hyundai's, quote, commitment to this project and our state. Savannah Mayor Van Johnson, writing on social media, wrote that the project, quote, will bring new opportunities to our workforce, bolster our infrastructure, and strengthen Savannah's position as a hub for advanced manufacturing. The announcement also comes weeks after a massive immigration raid at the site rounded up hundreds of workers, caused diplomatic tension between the U.S. and South Korea, and delayed completion of a Hyundai LG Energy Solutions battery factory. Earlier this week, I spoke with Dee Dee Caldwell, president and CEO of Global Location Strategies, about the potential fallout from the raid. She and I spoke before Thursday's announcement.
Hi, glad to be here. Thank you so much.
South Korea's president said last week that companies from his country might be, quote, more hesitant to invest in the U.S. if they fear difficulty related to immigration. Given Georgia's key economic ties to Korean firms like Hyundai, SK Battery, and Qcells, should that hesitance worry Georgia leaders?
In my opinion, it should definitely worry them. Investments like these are made after very, very careful consideration. And at the end of the day, it's people making these decisions. And people generally like to do business with people that they trust. And so something like what happened at the Hyundai plant a couple weeks ago outside of Savannah is just one of those things that undermines the trust in the U.S. administration having their best interest at heart.
The raid has shed light on what some are calling an open secret in the world of economic development. That is, while the U.S. faces a shortage of skilled labor and a murky and bureaucratic visa system, some overseas firms are sending workers to the U.S. under various short-term visas, often resulting in overstays and an improperly documented workforce. Is that open secret something that you see in companies looking to build or expand in the U.S.?
I don't think that anyone, to my knowledge, is trying to circumvent immigration laws, but there is a need for specialized technicians and engineers that are experienced in these types of operations to be able to come here and transfer that knowledge into the United States. And it's very, very common and, in my mind, necessary that this happens because these companies are trying to basically do a copy exact model of what they already have successfully operating. And that takes institutional knowledge to be able to do that. We just don't have that type of knowledge here in the United States. So in my opinion, it would be in everyone's best interest if the U.S. government and these companies could work together to figure out what is the best path to allow that transfer of knowledge that brings a lot of intellectual property and a lot of goodwill to the United States and employs people here in the most efficient and law-abiding way.
Your company helps industrial and manufacturing companies with location strategy. When you talk with them about the relative strengths and weaknesses of Georgia's workforce, what do you tell them about the availability to quickly find qualified workers here?
Well, I mean, as you know, Georgia is a big state, and so labor availability and skills will vary from location to location. I would say that generally speaking, across the United States, we have a shortage of skilled workers, either in construction or in operations, in particular things like maintenance and mechatronics. But Georgia fares pretty well. I've been doing this for 27 years, and it used to be considered like the low-cost South. And our skills and the skills that are associated with the South, but also the labor rates have normalized to a certain extent, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It just shows that we're moving up the value chain. But I do think that one of the things that Georgia definitely has going for it is, well, actually two things. One is that it's a right-to-work state. And so that tends to have a more friendly labor management relations. The other thing is that Georgia has very strong technical college system and a state incentive program called Quick Start, which will help companies like Hyundai and any other company, domestic or foreign, come in and identify, recruit, and train the workers that they need so that they can get up and running and operating as smoothly and efficiently as possible.
Georgia has been getting a lot of these advanced technology factories in recent years, especially in the electric energy industries. These factories need highly trained engineers and equipment installers with certain technical skills. At the same time, they need workers with skills like concrete pouring, carpentry, pipe fitting, and the like to build the sites. Do you see a difference in how easy it is to get the high-tech workers versus the construction workers domestically?
Well, about 40% of the construction workers in the United States are immigrants and with various levels of documentation. And there's a fear for sure among the immigrant community, whether or not they're documented, that they may be subject to an ICE detention. And so I think that that is causing exacerbated issues. I mean, we're already facing labor shortages. But I think that this fear is sometimes causing workers in that industry to either not show up at work, or sometimes rumors get around that there might be a raid coming and then it's a mass exodus. And these are people with documentation and without documentation.
So bottom line, what do the companies that you talk to want when it comes to their investments and immigration policy?
Well, what they want more than anything is that they want certainty. Uncertainty and chaos is the enemy of investment. And right now we're in a state of chaos, not just associated with immigration, but also associated with tariffs, chaos associated with monetary and fiscal policy. So we just are trying to understand the rules of the game. And we're having to do a lot more scenario planning than we would have in the past. The difference between the best case scenario and the worst case scenario has grown by an order of magnitude.
That's Dee Dee Caldwell of Global Location Strategies. She joins me from Greenville, South Carolina. Thanks for speaking with us here at GPB.
Thank you so much. Happy to do it.
Governor Brian Kemp says he does not expect the Hyundai raid to deter companies from locating in Georgia. He spoke to reporters on Tuesday at the groundbreaking for the Rivian electric vehicle plant east of Atlanta.
I've had good conversations with companies that are here doing business in Georgia, companies that are looking to do business here, and I've had good conversations with people in the White House about the visa issue. A lot of companies across the country have dealt with that issue, and that's really one of the things that Donald Trump ran on when he ran for president, was cutting red tape, trying to be more efficient. And I think this is one of those times where, you know, something good will come out of this in the end to help address the problem that, you know, a lot more companies than just Hyundai are having.
Hyundai's announcement indicates the raid will not deter the company's plans to invest in the Bryan County site. And that's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. If you'd like to learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. If you haven't yet hit subscribe on this podcast, take a moment to do that now. It'll help you keep us current in your feed. And if you have feedback, send that to us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. We'd love to hear it. I'm Orlando Montoya. We'll be back again tomorrow with another episode of Georgia Today.